transaction costs reduce, the amount of trade will increase, so it increases the efficiency of trading. It also reduces reliance on US dollars. So this increases the economic independence for both Malaysia and for India. Moreover, given that the currency fluctuations against dollars can be quite extreme, this also reduces the fluctuations in trade between the two countries, so brings about greater stability. Moreover, it will also increase India's ability to increase investments from Malaysia once more and more Indian rupees are used for trade. So it has a huge impact in terms of economic and political ties, and also will increase overall trade.
Mr. Hassan, the use of local currencies in the international trade is on the rise. So to what extent will it lead to a shift in the balance of power between the US and other states?
There's about 60% of global foreign exchange reserves are in dollars. Something like 40 to 50% of global trade is done in dollars. So dollars, US dollars are obviously one of the most, it is the most dominant currency. This gives United States an enormous power, both in terms of economics as well as in terms of politics. Now, what we are seeing is more and more use of local currencies. There's seen between China and Brazil. We have seen recently talk between United States China and Saudi Arabia. These are beginning to happen, and one of the reasons is basically people want greater degree of independence. They don't want to have to be dependent on the US as much. It also is very often driven by local economic and geopolitical factors. So if countries are very close together, they tend to find it much more easy to use their local currencies. And finally, I think there is the fear of sanctions in the case of especially China. There's a fear that at some point the United States might flex its political muscle and use the dollar to sanction it.
Mr. Hassan, recently we've seen India is pushing to advance the use of the Indian rupee in the international trade. So how will this strategy benefit India in the coming years?
There are a number of benefits that India gets from increasing use of Indian rupee. First of all, it reduces the reliance, as I've already mentioned, on the US dollars. It provides a level of economic independence. It also reduces, as I've also mentioned, the fluctuations, the wild fluctuations you can sometimes get in USD, which has an effect on local inflation. So once you start using the domestic currencies bilaterally, you tend to have much more stable exchange, greater efficiency, and also the level of impact on inflation is reduced. So that's one of the benefits. The other benefit, obviously, is internationalization of the Indian rupee will help in terms of foreign investments into India. As more and more countries own rupees, they would want to look to invest into India using those rupees. It also increases India's access to international capital markets, because as Indian rupee becomes a much more accepted form of currency, they will be able to issue bonds in terms of Indian rupees.
There you have it, Mr. Sayyed Javed Hassan, economist from Islamabad. Thank you for your time and knowledge, sir. Now let's see how people have reacted on social media.
S.L. Canton tweeted, "No more U.S. dollar needed in India-Malaysia trade. Indian rupee can now be used for imports and exports. Interestingly, it all started with U.S. and EU sanctions on Russia. In order to buy Russian oil, coal, fertilizer, etc., the Indian Central Bank created special Vostro accounts to circumvent U.S. dollar last year. Once that was successful, it was easy to copy-paste the mechanism elsewhere. Now, 18 countries, including UK and Germany, are working on implementing this type of settlement." Deepak Kapoor, IAS, wrote, "Malaysia, first country in ASEAN area which will do trade with India in rupee, our currency. Jai Hind." Red Pill tweeted, "India, Malaysia ditched the dollar to trade in Indian rupee." Noah wrote, So over in Econ Twitter, apparently India has ditched the U.S. dollar in its cross-border trade relations. Malaysia has become one of the first countries that agreed to conduct trade deals with India using rupee. Iran is also looking to follow India's example.
And that was our episode about India's relation with the South Caucasus countries and also the rupee emerging as a trading currency between India and Malaysia. We shall meet again. Take great care.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Color of Islam page. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Viewpoints. I am Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sayyid Mohsen Naghvi and Shaykh Rouhani. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Shaykh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
In today's episode of the program Viewpoints, we want to talk about the character of Hazrat Hamza and what were his main struggles to protect Islam. Sayyid Mohsen Naghvi, let's start with you. First, introduce Hazrat Hamza, Sayyid al-Shuhada, for us. Who was he exactly?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Hazrat Hamza was a son of Abdul Muttalib, and he was the uncle of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. According to the history that we have, he was of the same age as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Maybe he was 2 years older than him, or in some narrations it is said that he was 4 years older than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And obviously, when he was at such an age, it is not far that to imagine that they were together, and he was a big supporter of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why am I saying this? Is because, you know, he was in Hilful Fuzul as well. You know, Hilful Fuzul was.
What does it mean?
Hilful Fuzul was an oath, or we can say a covenant, between the youth of the Mecca,
okay,
who made this oath that whoever will tease or oppress any poor person, they will help him.
Ah, and so before converting to Islam,
even before the Prophet announced the prophecy, when he was young, he was also the part of Hilful Fuzul. He was amongst those youngsters, you can say,
yes,
who raised for the justice and who used to save people, like poor people or the slaves, from the oppression and from the, you know, the hardship which was done by the, we can say that, like the rich people of the Mecca or the Arabs. So Hazrat Hamza was part of that as well. And throughout his life, he was known as the brave personality.
Yes.
He was fond of hunting. And obviously in the battles, even he was at the front foot. So basically, yes, his personality was in a way that he was a very known person, known as bravery, known as someone who is so much energetic, and everyone used to love him.
Yes, very good. That's right. The main titles were Asadullah and Sayyid al-Shuhada. We will talk more about, of course, these titles of Hazrat Hamza. Okay, Shaykh Rouhani, give us more details about Hazrat Hamza as a supporter of Prophet Muhammad. How did he support Prophet Muhammad? In what year did he convert to the religion of Islam and that?
Yes, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As it was rightly mentioned, Hamza Sayyid al-Shuhada was one of the great supporter of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In those days that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in need of such a kind of supports, because in the early days of Islam in the holy city of Mecca, the people, I mean the tribal, let's say, leaders were opposed to the Prophet, were against the Prophet. Many times they were trying to insult the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that's why in those days, mostly the people, we can say, in the city of Mecca were against the Prophet.
Yes.
So that's why in such a condition, if someone support the Prophet, his role is very much great in this, in Islam, we can say. That's why when it comes to Hamza Sayyid al-Shuhada, when he started to support the Holy Prophet, when he converted to Islam, of course, we can say Islam and the Holy Prophet became more and more stronger. And that is why, though, for example, many people converted to Islam after Hijrah.
Yes.
That is also something great, we can say. But those people who converted to the Islam in the early days of Islam, like Hamza the Sayyid al-Shuhada, like Lady Khadija and the other companions of the Holy Prophet, I think their roles are very much significant and very much important to the Islam that nowadays we should celebrate it, we should commemorate it, and we should understand their important roles. It is said that one day, for example, Abu Jahl insulted and used bad language against the Holy Prophet.
Yes, Abu Jahl was famous for using foul language against the Prophet. That's right, okay.
He was one of the powerful kind of figure in the Mecca.
Abu Jahl and Hamza were not brothers.
They were cousins.
They were both the uncle of Prophet Muhammad. Yeah, one of them supported the enemy, okay?
And then when Hamza came to the holy city of Mecca, some of the servants of some of the people, I think, who had seen this scene, she went to the Hamza Sayyid al-Shuhada and told him that, okay, today Abu Jahl was insulting the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he started to even beat that man, Abu Jahl.
Okay.
Yes, and told him that you can no longer insult the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I will support him.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why he stopped Abu Jahl from insulting the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after that.
That's all right. We can say such a support, such a favor from the side of Hamza for Prophet Muhammad at that time for sure had effects on the enemies of Prophet Muhammad, including the Quraysh one. And we know that the support of people like Abu Talib, Prophet, we can say the father of Imam Ali alayhi salam, and also Hamza said the Shuhada, as you said, made it easier for Prophet Muhammad to be more popular among the people. Although after Prophet Muhammad, and how was his claiming Islam? I mean, was it at the very first years of Islam, Sayyid Muslim?
Well, how it is said is, according to the historian, it was like after a couple of years. He was at the time when Prophet has announced, like he gathered his family members to invite him towards the Islam. But there is a point, obviously, you know, the story which has been narrated is that when Abu Jahl one day has, you know, insulted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of Hamza's slaves, like she was a lady slave, as brother has mentioned, she said the story that this was how the Prophet was insulted.
Yes.
And when he came to there, he basically said that how you dare to, you know, insult the Muhammad, because what if I say that I am on his religion? So it shows that he was basically, you know.
Or they were Muslims in heart.
Yes,
because they say
were
that, for example, Abdul Muttalib, Abu Talib, they were Muslims. I mean, they were monotheists.
But the declaration, it was at the time, like it was said
officially.
Like at that time, officially, other were knowing about this. Because initially, even in Islam, when Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam started to, you know, preach Islam, initially, he also ordered those who were becoming Muslims to not to disclose that you're Muslims, because these pagans or the polytheists of Mecca, they will tease you, they will oppress you, they will obviously, you know, hurt you. So this was one of the reasons. So what I believe personally is that, like Abu Talib, alayhi salam, father of Imam Ali, he never declared in front of the pagans or the polytheists his Islam. And that's why, you know, in the history, we have two types of people. Some say like Abu Talib wasn't a Muslim.
Yes.
Whereas there are many verses of the Quran that are based on the belief of, you know, which witnessed the belief of, you know, the true belief, the belief of Abu Talib, and he was the true believer.
Especially, you know, we know that when Abdul Muttalib passed away, he was in the deathbed.
Yes.
He put the hands of Muhammad in the hands of Abu Talib. That after me, you are the custodian of this child. Okay, this shows a great importance. That's right.
And even after that, when the Prophet was about to marry, Abu Talib was the one who read the sermon, marriage sermon.
Oh.
For the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Okay.
And even after that, even when we say, you know, there is a small hint that every prophet we see in the Quran, for example, Prophet Ibrahim, it is said that he wanted to pray for his uncle, and Allah stopped him. He said, the one who is not on my religion, who does not believe in me, who worship idols, you're not allowed to even pray for him when he passes away.
Okay.
And when Abu Talib passes away, Prophet mourns for 1 year.
Yes.
And he announces that. So how come Allah permits the Prophet to mourn for 1 year? It shows that obviously they were the believers, and obviously you know the verse where Allah says, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ.
Very good.
That Allah has, given the favor to the mu'mineen. Is ba'asa that he raised Rasulan, a prophet, a messenger, min anfusim, from themselves.
Yes.
Now, there were some believers from whom the prophet was raised.
Mm-hmm.
So it shows that even if Abu Talib is not declaring his, iman, but he was a mu'min and he wasn't the idol worshipper.
Likewise Hamza. For 3 years, we know that the Muslims and the followers of Prophet Muhammad were under the most fierce, we can say, sanctions in Shi'b Abi Talib. So Hamza and Amir al-Mu'mineen Imam Ali alayhi salam were the guardians, we could say the guards over there, after food for the children over there when they were under sanctions. This shows the great character and how much polytheist were after killing Hamza, Sayyidat al-Shuhada. We'll get, of course, to this aspect of this life, Shaykh Rouhani. Let's get to the martyrdom of Hamza, Sayyidat al-Shuhada. In the Shiite world, the title Sayyid al-Shuhada is used for Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. But before him, Hamza was famous with this title. How was the story?
Yes, of course. As I was mentioned, since the role of Hamza to Sayyid al-Shuhada alayhi salam in the actually spreading Islam and strengthening Islam was so much greater, so much important, that the enemies of the Holy Prophet, the enemies of Islam, focused on this figure because again, his role was very much important and significant in the two battles, Battle of Badr and Battle of Uhud.
Yes.
In the Battle of Uhud, Hamza Sayyid al-Shuhada was killed by a servant.
Yes.
Whose name was Wahshi.
Yes.
Servant of Abu Sufyan.
Abu Sufyan, that's right.
Actually, yes. The wife of Abu Sufyan, mother of Muawiyah.
Hinda.
She ordered her servant to kill Hamza. So, of course, Hamza...
Why so much grudge against Hamza?
Because he was so much a strong person. He was a very strong man.
Oh.
And of course, it is said, some of the analysts are of the view that if Hamza were alive till the end of the life of the Holy Prophet, particularly after the life of the Holy Prophet, then it was very much possible that Imam Ali alayhi salam would be the caliph.
Oh.
Yeah, because among Bani
Hashim.
Yeah,
he was a supporter.
Yeah, he was a supporter of Bani Hashim against Quraysh. So that is why, since Hamza killed many of the, let's say, leaders, infidels, and many important figures of Quraysh in the Battle of Badr, in the Battle of Uhud. So that's why they were so much strongly, let's say, hostile towards the Hamza.
That's
why they tried their best to kill this great figure.
Some people are looking for verses or ayahs of the Quran referring to Hazrat Hamza, if he was great. You know, after Hamza was martyred, his body was mutilated. It was decapitated, mutilated, okay? And the companions of Prophet Muhammad said, let us do so against the enemy forces. And then ayah 126 of Surah Nahl was revealed that mutilating the bodies of your enemies is not allowed in Islam. And this shows that how much, we can say, great the status of Hamza Sayyid al-Shuhada was, and how much Islam respects the enemy. Even if you are in a battlefield and your own companion is mutilated, is killed, you are not allowed to do so against, we can say, a human. And we have a hadith from Prophet Muhammad that even mutilating the body of the animal is not allowed, okay? See how much respect they had for the life of the others. Okay. Sayyid Mohsen Naghvi, your final remarks regarding Hazrat Hamza.
From what you have just said about the mutilating the body,
yes,
it is said in the history that Hinda, the mother of Muawiyah,
yes,
wife of Abu Sufyan and grandmother of Yazid,
yes,
she was the one who ordered.
Yes,
and
yes.
She made a necklace out of the body parts of Hamza.
Oh.
So they cut off his nose, his ears, his hands and legs,
oh,
and she entered into the Mecca having this, you know, necklace of the body parts of Hamza as a trophy of winning the battle. So such a personality, such a, we can say, like, personality in the history,
yes,
like Hinda. And later we can see Muawiyah and Yazid, and I'm surprised of those who read this history, and even after that, they are the supporters of Banu Umayyah.
This was the grands, the son of that, yes, mother.
Yes, Yazid who was the grandson of
Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. That's right.
So you can make connections.
It has a history behind, that's
so you
right.
You can make connections because it was in their family.
Oh, very good, good.
It does not come from anywhere
it
else.
Was a family habit.
It was a family, yes.
Okay,
family habit. And even Yazid, when he saw the head of Imam Hussein in front of him, he said, like, I took the revenge of my forefathers.
That's
so all what
right.
was he talking about? On the other hand, you know, we have many other things which I'm surprised of some of our Muslim brothers, that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he cried over Hamza.
Mm-hmm.
When we cry on Imam Hussein, he is also known as Sayyid al-Shuhada.
Yes.
Even the Hamza alayhi salam was known as Sayyid al-Shuhada by Prophet. So Prophet cried on him.
Even visited his grave.
Yes, okay. He visited his grave. Lady Fatima salamu alayha used to visit the grave every Wednesday, as it is said in some of the narrations, some of the books. Mm-hmm. So they used to visit the grave regularly. Oh. The Shuhada or the martyrs of Uhud.
That's right.
The Prophet used to go there. He cried over Hamza. And when he entered the Medina, he saw that there is no one to cry. And he said to his daughter to go to the house of Hamza and go. Mm-hmm. And the ladies of the, you know, the Muhajirin and Ansar, also went to the house of Hamza, and they started to cry over there.
Okay.
And it was said, like, they cried for many days. They mourned for many days.
This was a Sunnah Prophet.
So this was, obviously, this was done by the Prophet. Yes, so therefore, we learn from these historical aspects that when we mourn for someone who gave his life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is the Sunnah of the Prophet.
That's
it
right.
is not a bid'ah. It is not something which is haram. And those who think that these things are haram, they should refer to the history, they should see the life of the Prophet, and they should learn from there, because Allah said clearly in the Quran, وَمَنْ يُعَذِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. Whoever respects the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is from the piety of the hearts. So this That's respect right. that we show towards a martyr who gave his life, his everything in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he becomes a sign of Allah. And for him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that don't think that they are the dead ones, but they are alive and they're getting the rizq or sustenance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's right. There are two documents, Shawwal 7th or Shawwal 15th, in the year 3 of the Hijri lunar calendar. It will be March 23rd, 625, according to the Christian calendar, that the Uhud battle happened and Hazrat Hamza Sayyid al-Shuhada was martyred. Even if you Google it, we can say you could see that there was a dome and the building before the Wahhabis, we can say, demolished it in the Baqi Cemetery.
In 1925.
Yes, in 1925 they demolished it, but it's still the photos are available. May Allah bless the soul of Hamza Sayyid al-Shuhada, one of the most outstanding, ardent supporters of Prophet Muhammad and the religion of Islam. Thank you, my Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi and brother and Sheikh Rouhani for a nice elaboration regarding his life. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Viewpoints, which was about Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
I know that you could easily take away everything you've given me, and I try to remember not to take anything for granted.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of Viewpoints. Please don't forget to log on to our website at parstoday.ir. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Food for thought.
Salam, friends. And since today is the day following the Battle of Uhud, in which Hazrat Hamza, peace upon him, the Prophet's valiant uncle, was not just tragically martyred, but his liver torn from his body and chewed by an Arab infidel, let us listen to the Prophet's saying on the importance of pilgrimage to the graves of the righteous. Whoever visits my grave but does not visit the grave of my uncle Hamza has indeed been unkind to me.
First days of January. Part 1.
The beginning of the year in early January, these days always have a special feeling for me. I was born 22 years ago in such days in a village in the province of Aleppo. I've always had these feelings in me in early January. Perhaps none of my friends, relatives, or even I thought that after 12 years of my birth in this land, events would happen that would change the course of history. I am Fatemeh Ali, a student of journalism at Allama Tabatabwe University in Tehran. In my country, due to the war in Syria, I was forced to leave school and immigrate to Iran. The shy little girl in the town of Nubl, whose biggest concern was the half-hour drive away from the University of Aleppo, today writes stories for us that include hundreds of volumes of books. Today is my birthday. My friends have invited me to listen to my travelogue. Like me, they too have endured the hardships of exile and immigration. Today I was supposed to tell them the story of my 1.5 years of absence from my hometown. It has been a year and a half since I have been counting the moments to kiss my mother again and hug my father and see my siblings again. Tonight, after a year and a half of absence from home, I am finally with my family again. The sound of workers working in construction sites in my city indicates that life has returned to this area. Four years of siege, famine and starvation. 4 years without gas and electricity during the bone-chilling cold of northern Syria. This is only part of the suffering of the cities of Nubl and Al-Zahra. In those days, the dreams and wishes of the people depended on the fighters fighting outside the city. Those whose hearts burned like ours and did their best to not let the city fall into the hands of the Takfiri terrorists. Human aspirations are very diverse depending on their circumstances. Perhaps one of the dreams of a girl in the besieged cities of Nubl and Al-Zahra was merely to see the sun rise tomorrow. Some nights, as the sound of shooting got closer and closer, I felt that that night would be the last night that I would see my parents' faces. The sound of laughter next to the citadel of Aleppo had a great message. The battle is over. The terrorists have fled and the people will return to their homes. The atmosphere in Aleppo has now returned to the days before the war. Aleppo experienced a very bitter battle and felt the heartbreak caused by the battle that killed more than 500,000 people and displaced millions. Damascus, the capital of Syria, was wounded, but it refused to collapse and give in. This city is one of the oldest cities in the world. Its inhabitants of all religions and sects lived in peace for centuries, without any war or bloodshed. but suddenly it became face-to-face with a phenomenon called Daesh and al-Nusra. It is the shining pearl of Levant that slowly regains its calm. Western media is trying to cleanse the Takfiris terrorists of their crimes. They divert the attention of the world to conflicts between the nation and the government, while the terrorists are raiding people's houses. I will never forget the weekends I spent in my city, even if Daesh destroyed the amusement park in Aleppo and destroyed my childhood memories with it. The newspapers do not describe how innocent children were massacred, but I learned from life, under a siege, how to tell a story. When such conditions surround me. We were going to become one of the largest economies in the Arab world, and we were all moving towards that goal. However, it seems that the smoke from these factories and the turn of the economy in Syria had greatly annoyed the Persian Gulf sheikdoms and the Israelis. So they decided to stop our progress. When I had to leave the country due to the war and travel to Iran, I had to travel from Aleppo to Damascus. The route was normally 4 hours, but during the war, it took 10 to 11 hours to travel. Even those armed to their teeth did not dare to cross it for fear of their lives. But what happened today is more of a miracle. It is as if the martyrs have brought eternal security for Syria.
This is IRIB English Radio. Iranian news. Iranian culture. Iranian voice. www.parstoday.com/en.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Rabbah, بالإسلام دينا.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum. This is another episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio, which in that we're going to speak about the art of listening. So be with us.
Yourself, can't you see this wonder spread in front of you? The clouds floating by, the sky so clear and blue, planets in their orbits, the moon and the sun, such perfect harmony. Let's start questioning ourselves, isn't this proof enough for us?
First, we'll look at the calendar. Today, Saturday, is the 15th of Shawwal, 1444, of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 16th of the month of Urdibehesht, 1402, of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 6th of May, 2023, of the Christian Gregorian calendar. For blessing this moment of today's special, let's listen to verse 26 of chapter Ahqaf, and then the important point of it.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولقد مكناهم فيما إن مكناكم فيه وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُمْ سَمْعًا وَأَبْصَارًا وَأَفْئِدَةً فَمَا أَغْنَى عَنْهُمْ سَمْعُهُمْ وَلَا أَبْصَارُهُمْ وَلَا أَفْئِدَتُهُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِذْ كَانُوا يَجْحَدُونَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَحَاقَ بِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا بِهِ يَسْتَهْزِئُونَ
And we had certainly established them in such as we have not established you. And we made for them hearing and vision and hearts. But their hearing and vision and hearts availed them not from anything of the punishment. When they were continually rejecting the signs of Allah, and they were enveloped by what they used to ridicule.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
To have access to facilities necessitate making efforts, but they all belong to God. In spite of having been granted hearing, seeing, and perceiving hearts, this having provided them with all the requirements of mankind in terms of bodily strength and intellectual power, they fail to enjoy divine bounties, felicity, and spiritual merits. They made use of them to satisfy their bestial needs, denied divine signs, and derided the messenger of God. As a consequence of their vices, they suffered from the torment and paid for their mockery.
Every morning I wake up and see the splendor of Allah's beauty. The sky at dawn, the silent trees. Praise be to Him, supreme is He. Praise be to Him, supreme is He. As I set to start my day, I think of Allah and I pray. His blessings are with me always. Praise be to Him, most kind is He. Praise be to Him, most kind is He.
As I told you, we're speaking about the art of listening. The first step towards acquiring ilm, that means knowledge, is istima. What does it mean? It means listening, memorize, remember, then to act upon it and propagate. The importance of listening with full attention is the first step and an essential requisite for success in acquiring ilm, which is the prerequisite to acting according to the commands of the Creator, Allah. It is for this reason that Allah Most High used the word istima', listening with intent, when stating the adab, means proper manner, of listening to the Quran in the following verse. You can look at the Holy Quran, verse 204, chapter 7. When the Quran is recited, listen to it attentively and be silent, so that you may be showered with mercy.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The importance of listening to the Holy Quran and the miracle of listening. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Holy Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وإذا قرئ القرآن فاستمعوا له وأنصتوا لعلكم ترحمون. When the Quran is recited, listen to it and be silent. Maybe you will receive Allah's mercy. This is Surah Al-A'raf, chapter 7, verse 204. The believer's awe for Allah Azza wa Jal is reflected in the attitude with which he listens to the words of Almighty Allah. A heart that is deeply connected to Allah will gravitate towards the sounds of Allah's words. There is instantaneous attention, a stilling of everything, a fluttering of internal emotions, and a yearning to keep listening. This type of listening strengthens and increases faith. Many verses talk about the tremendous impact of listening to the words of Quran on the receptive heart. The Quran says, "Say whether you believe in it or do not believe in it." Indeed, when it is recited to those who were given knowledge before it, they fall down in prostration on their faces and say, "Immaculate is our Lord. Indeed, our Lord's promise is bound to be fulfilled." Weeping, they fall on their faces, and it increases them in humility. These are again verses 107 to 109 from chapter 17 of the Holy Quran. In another place, the Quran describes the reaction of the believers to the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down the best of this course, a scripture composed of similar motifs, whereat shiver the skins of those who fear their Lord, then their skins and hearts relax at Allah's remembrance. Verse 23, chapter 39. IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible.
فجرا جئت بعد العسر يسرا ربنا أعلاك قدرا يا إمام.
All in all, in today's special IRIB English Radio,
you're listening to today's special from IRIB English Radio. Essential qualities that make excellent listeners. One of them is attention. Giving someone your undivided attention shows that you're interested in what they have to say, It also helps you focus on what you're saying and not get distracted by your thoughts or external noises. When you are fully engaged in a conversation with someone, it's easy to lose track of time. However, if you get distracted more often than not by your phone or other people around you, this could indicate that there is room for improvement when it comes to giving others your full attention. About etiquettes in our relationship with the Quran, we can say, firstly, the Holy Quran says that it cannot be touched except by the pure ones. So that's one condition. Cleanliness is therefore one important condition. Even for this external printed format of the Quran, it cannot be touched without cleanliness in the form of wudu or ablution. And at the same time, the inner reality of the Quran cannot be accessed without spiritual purity. The Holy Quran instructs us to read the Holy Quran in a particular manner, known as tartil. This is referred from Surah Muzammil, chapter 73, verse 4, where we are instructed to read the Holy Quran in slow, rhythmic tones, and we discuss the details of what that means. We are recommended to read the Holy Quran as much as possible. This is again referenced from Surah Muzammil, verse 20.
Listening and understanding and reasoning are the most important instruments of learning. The journey of learning begins with listening. So, ila Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet was asked, Ya Rasulullah, mal ilm? What is knowledge? How do we learn? He said there are five steps. Number one, al-insat. Insat, silence. You have to observe silence. This is number one, al-insat. Number two, al-istima', to listen, to allow yourself to listen. Some people do not want to listen, so they don't learn. Students in the classroom who always chat with each other or with their instruments. With their instruments, they are always chatting. They don't listen. This is why they miss many things. They miss everything. They don't learn. So you have to allow yourself to listen. الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلِ The believers, their first step is يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلِ They allow themselves, they give themselves time to listen. So this is the second. The third step of learning, وَحِفْظُهُ حِفْظُهُ Discerning it, digesting the knowledge.
Dear brothers and sisters, thank you very much for joining us. It seems that our time is over, so inshallah we continue this interesting topic in the next episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Don't forget, follow us. Till tomorrow, have a nice time.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi. علي إمامي لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي لا إله إلا الله الله ربي محمد نبي علي إمامي
لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.